Well, happy Celebration Sunday, everyone. My name is Edwin Perez, and it certainly is a joy just to be here with you all and just to celebrate all that God has done throughout this past year. You know, I can think of times even in my own life of just celebrations that I've been a part of. For instance, I can think back to this one moment when I was playing pitching machine baseball. Any 10-year-olds in the house, by the way, because I was about 10 years old when they said, all right, I see you. Awesome. So I was 10 years old, getting ready for this pitching machine league that I was a part of. And, you know, I was amped up. I was ready to go, you know. So we were going to do well, and we were going to win and all that stuff. And sure enough, we ended up winning every single game, and we ended up winning the championship game. Isn't that incredible? I mean, come on. You know, I'll be around signing autographs just in case if you were wondering. But in either case, I can remember as soon as this happened, you know, my whole team was just super thrilled about this. We were shouting, hollering, all this stuff. You know, I can remember like throwing up my glove, and maybe I said this to my parents, I'm going to Disney World. And they're like, no, you're not. And I'm like, oh, great, you know. But in either case, celebration is just a part of the culture that we live in. And we can see it in so many different arenas. For instance, we can celebrate birthdays, right? We celebrate anniversaries. We celebrate life events. And a lot of national events that I'm not sure why they're celebrated. For instance, January 17th, it's the national day to ditch your resolutions. All right, so there you go. On January 21st, it is National Hugging Day. So for all of you non-huggers out there, that is a really bad day for you. On March 18th, Awkward Moments Day. Yeah, it's awkward. On August 10th, National Lazy Day. So if you're a student in here, man, what an opportunity for you to just play video games all day on that. You didn't hear it from me, okay? But just August 10th, that might be your day to do it on National Lazy Day, okay? October 25th, Greasy Foods Day. And tomorrow, I'm a fan of this one. Tomorrow, December 30th, National Bacon Day. I mean, come on, isn't that incredible? But we can see that celebrating is a part of the culture that we live in. But beyond this, the idea of celebration is certainly embedded within the scripture itself. We can see plenty of examples of this simply because God is consistently reminding his people to remember him, to remember his works, and to remember all that he has done on their behalf. For instance, even when we start to understand the idea of the festival of the Passover, as this was an important reminder for the people of God to set aside time to remember that God delivered them from Egyptian bondage. Or even if we start to even look at the Festival of Tabernacles, as this was a reminder for the people of God that he is their provision and he is where their dependence should be found, as God has chosen to tabernacle or dwell among his people. But even as we look throughout the scripture, celebration is a part of so many different events that we can see. For instance, David and all of Israel celebrating with instruments when the Ark of the Covenant was brought back to Jerusalem from the Philistine army. We can also see in Nehemiah when the walls of Jerusalem were rebuilt and a great celebration occurred to give God thanks and praise. Then we could also see Jesus giving the story of two sons and the one son squandering the father's wealth, but when the prodigal son returned home, the father threw a banquet, a celebration, a party, because his son was once lost, but now he is found. And then even the Apostle Paul, as he begins his letter to the church at Philippi, he says, in all of my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. So we can see that celebration is an important concept even throughout the scripture for the people of God to be a part of. And that's certainly important for us in our context here. Even as we think of times where we celebrate, we just celebrated this past week the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ, being born and what that means for all of us. We celebrate even at Easter time, but also every week, the resurrection of Jesus Christ and how this event has changed and transformed everything. We often celebrate here believers' baptism simply because we celebrate the lives of how people have been changed and transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. So celebrating God and celebrating what he has done is something that is a part of who we are as a community of faith. And it's something that has a long history within the scripture itself. But if I were to give you one main idea, something to walk out of here with, something I would love for you to remember, would simply be this: that God is always worth celebrating. That God is always worth celebrating. There are many places in the scripture that I could point you to draw that out, but I want to point your attention to Psalm 145. Within this psalm, David is offering a praise to God, and he's thinking about all that God has done. And throughout this psalm, David celebrates God. And so if you have your Bible, Psalms 145, beginning in verse 1, the scripture reads, "I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made." There's so many reasons why David is celebrating and praising God, which are listed here within this text. But even as we see these opening verses of Psalms 145, we can simply see how David is expressing and exalting his praise for God, and says that his name is worthy of praise forever and ever. Then in verse 3, David noted how the Lord is great and most worthy of praise, and how his greatness no one can fathom. And then between verses 4 and 7, I want to pull out two high-level reasons as we start to understand why God is worth celebrating that we'll see here in these next few verses. And it's simply this: first reason why God is always worth celebrating is because of what he does. It's because of what he does. See, I want to read verses 4 through 7 again. And as I read this again, I want you to just pay attention to how many times you're hearing the words "works," "mighty acts," or "deeds." In verse 4, "one generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness." So it's clear even within these few verses here that David is reflecting upon all that God does. You see, God is worth celebrating because of what he does. Then in verse 4, David wrote about how one generation will commend or speak of or praise of your works to another generation. And then in verses 5 through 7, David talks about the generational effects of God's works, of how God's splendor and power and great deeds and abundant goodness and righteousness will be celebrated, talked about, and passed down from generation to generation. So I want all my kids in here. I want all my kids in here just to wave at me just for a second, okay? Just wave. Awesome. I see your hands. So here's what I want you to know. Here's something for you. Is that we are so thrilled to have you here this morning, to have you here gathered with us. Because we really hope that even as you hear about stories of God's faithfulness, we hope that you can walk away knowing today that God loves you, that he cares about you, that he desires to be in relationship with you, that he wants to be your bestest friend in the whole wide world. You see, this is who God is. And it's awesome for you to be able to be in here today. And I want you to just slip up your hand. All my children, just slip up your hand just for a second, okay? Now, just everybody else, I just want you to look around at the hands that are raised. And I want to just say a word to everybody else, that it is our job, it is our responsibility to be able to raise up and instruct the next generation. Put your hands down. Simply because what David talked about in verse 4, one generation commends, will speak of, will praise your works to another generation. And so it's super impactful to be able to all be together today, because this is a reminder for all of us that God has been faithful to our church, that God is faithful to his people throughout every single generation. And this is something in this Psalms that we can see, that the works of God will be passed down, they'll be celebrated, rejoiced in, and talked about from one generation to another. But when we even reflect here at the chapel of all the things that God has done throughout this past year, I'm just going to list off a number of things that we can celebrate and rejoice in. We've seen the addition of a Niagara Falls campus. We have seen increased community group participation. We have seen thousands of people have the opportunity to respond to the gospel throughout our Easter services, our Christmas Eve services, and our Christmas outreach experience. We have seen the complete release of debt on our Cheektowaga, Lockport, and our new and upcoming Niagara Falls building. And we have seen 138 people go through the waters of baptism this past year. See, what an awesome God that we serve. Man, that's awesome. You see, God is always worth celebrating because of what he does. But then there's a second reason that I want to pull out for us here on why God is always worth celebrating, and it's simply because of this. It's because of who he is. It's because of who he is. Take a look at verses 8 and 9 again. It says, the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. See, just soak that in for a second. Just think about this. Think about how God is gracious, how God is compassionate, how God is slow to anger, how he's rich in love, and how he's good. See, we're unsure at exactly when this psalm was written, but if we were to just reflect upon David's life and what he would have understood about the character of God as he's writing this psalm, he would have understood and have seen and have heard about how his ancestors were led through the Red Sea and into the land of promise. See, even how David would likely recall how he did not outwardly look like a king, but was made king because of his heart for the Lord. He probably would have recalled how he defeated Goliath and how he won many battles, or how he had his life spared from Saul on a number of different occasions. And through the midst of it all, David knew God's character and praised him as a result. In fact, this psalm, Psalm 145, is actually an acrostic hymn, which simply means that even as we start to understand this, the first word of each verse begins with a successive letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So from A to Z, from Aleph to Tav, from beginning to end, David is praising God for who he is, for his character. And even as we start to understand this in our own lives, just think about how we can attest to God's grace, how we can attest to God's compassion and his patience and love and goodness as we are now in Christ. You see, we read this psalm with the full revelation of Scripture, knowing that Jesus is our promised Messiah, and he has allowed for us to be restored, to be forgiven, and to be made new. You see, when I just think about my life and know where my life could be without God, but then as a result of the grace of Jesus and because of what he has done, to have my life completely changed and renewed and transformed, and to know that I was heading on one path in one direction, but because of the overwhelming grace of God, my life is completely changed and turned around. You see, when we experience and drink in the grace of God, it changes everything. And this is where we can understand and know that if we are in Christ, that we know that God is good because he's always been good. We know that God is gracious because he's always been gracious. We know that God is faithful because he's always been faithful. We know that God is loving because he is, by very definition, loving. And this is something that when we start to understand who we are in Christ, that when we have our lives changed and transformed and forgiven, how can we not celebrate the character of who God is? You see, the Apostle Paul, he actually wrote about this in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. He wrote, "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. For even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace that you have been saved." See, God is always worth celebrating because of who he is. But I have to imagine that there are some here today that maybe this year or this day kind of just feels a little bit awkward. Maybe simply because you might feel that there's nothing worth celebrating. Or there's nothing really to celebrate. Maybe 2019 has been a really difficult and hard year for you. And I have to imagine that there's people listening or watching or here today that maybe this past year has been really hard. Maybe you've lost a job or strained relationships. Maybe you lost someone you loved. And in the midst of this, you're trying to still find a reason to celebrate, trying to still find a reason to sing and praise. And maybe you're left in a season of uncertainty today, as maybe you feel like you're now about to face the unknown and step into 2020. So today, I want to encourage you, if that's you, I want to encourage you to not just simply focus on what you don't know with all the uncertainties that may come with loss, but instead, focus on what you do know. In fact, David in Psalms 23, listen to what he said. He said, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley," maybe that's what you're experiencing today, walking through a dark valley, "I will fear no evil." Then listen to this. "For you are with me." You see, God, no matter what you're walking through, the encouragement that just rises from the scripture is that God is with you. That God sees you. That he knows you. And he will make all wrongs right. Do you know why? Because he's good. Because he's rich in love. Because he's gracious. Because he's compassionate. And I love what Charles Spurgeon wrote. He wrote, "God is too good to be unkind, and he is too wise to be mistaken. And when we cannot trace his hand, we must trust his heart." See, I know that David knew the heart of God because even the scripture talks about how David was a man after God's own heart. And then even as this Psalms, as this Psalm concludes in verse 6 of Psalm 23, David wrote, "Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." You see, even in the midst of hard times, even in the darkest valleys, know that in Christ, God is with you. And you can trust his heart because his goodness and his love will follow you every day. But we celebrate today. And we celebrate the stories that have come out of today. Because these stories testify to the fact that God is good. That God is faithful to his church, that God is trustworthy and that God is so rich in love. He's compassionate, even these qualities that we were talking about in Psalm 145. And so what I want us to be encouraged by today, as I said earlier, is simply this, is that God is always worth celebrating. Because having a day like today is actually a really good thing and a healthy thing. Simply because what we celebrate actually reveals what we value. Right? There's a reason why I celebrate on August 17th every year. It's because I value the commitment that I made to my wife, Valerie. You see, there's a reason why we celebrate birthdays. Any children in here, I'm sure you love going to birthday parties, right? The Frozen-themed birthday party. You know, let it go. I'm sure you love it, right? And you go and you show up and you have fun. But there's actually a reason why we celebrate birthdays. It's because we value the person that we're celebrating and the life that they have. See, there's a reason why we celebrate graduations. It's because we value education in some degree or another. Or there's a reason why sports teams celebrate when they win. It's because they ultimately value winning in championships. And ladies and gentlemen, there's a reason why we celebrate today. It's because we value Jesus. We value Jesus more than anything. And we value the mission that he has called us to, which is to see every man, woman, and child have repeated opportunities to hear and to see the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when we see this mission unfolding before our eyes, and as we're hearing stories of life change and hearing how God is impacting the hearts and lives of people, man, that is something to celebrate. And this is why we want to be able to celebrate. It's because we ultimately value Jesus above all else. So there's two ways that I want us to respond today. We're going to have an opportunity to sing and to worship. Simply, even when we start to look at the celebrations that occurred throughout the scripture, a lot of those celebrations were actually accompanied with music and with psalms and giving thanks to God. And so this is something that we want to be able to do, is we want to be able to sing together, to be able to remember and to be able to reflect on all that God has done throughout our past year. And then the second thing that I would love for us to do is we're going to dismiss, after we sing a couple of songs, we're going to dismiss just a little bit early today. And this will give us an opportunity to be able to reflect upon this question. What is your celebration story from 2019? And there'll be places in the atrium, which John will explain afterwards. He'll come back up to explain what that will look like. But there'll be an opportunity for us to actually write, what is my celebration story from 2019? Maybe something happened. Maybe you saw someone come to know Jesus, or someone took a step of faith that you're connected to, and you saw them take that step of faith and you want to celebrate that. Or maybe this past year has been a really difficult year. And maybe something that you can do is just simply write a Bible verse or reflect upon the character of God in some way, shape, or form. Because at the end of the day, what we want to do here as a church today is we want to be able to celebrate. Because at the end of the day, God is always worth celebrating. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of everything that we can give.